Grace to you and peace from our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, we'll be following the gospel reading for this day as it's recorded for us in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. One verse we share with you now. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you." My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it must have been a terribly long day. Oh, I don't mean it was more than 24 hours. No, that's not the case. But think about it for a moment. The women were up before sunrise. They were already walking on the way to the grave. I don't know how long a distance that was, but it's still dark out. And from that moment on, life changed. From early in the morning, when they went and the tomb was open and it was empty, they had seen angels. They saw Jesus. From the time the disciples ran out to the tomb to see the same thing, to see the empty tomb, when they heard of the rumors that were no doubt being shared that the disciples had stolen the body. That was the excuse the soldiers had for an empty tomb that had already been sealed. What a long day that must have been. Disciples walking on the way to Emmaus, a couple miles outside of Jerusalem. And then meeting Jesus and not recognizing him until they sat down and were going to have a meal together. But he had explained all the scriptures to them and they really understood for the first time all that transpired on that Friday we call Good Friday. Oh, it must have been a long day because they headed back. They ran back to Jerusalem to be with the disciples. The uncertainties, some people saying they had seen Jesus, some that had been to the empty tomb, nobody else had maybe seen Jesus, all the questions that were going through their minds, all the worries, all the frets, all the concerns, afraid of everybody they might look at, because if they were accused of being grave robbers, that would get them in trouble. If they were accused by the Roman soldiers of stealing a body, that would get them in trouble. They were followers of Jesus, that could get them into trouble. What a long day it must have been. I'm not sure if there was even much conversation going on in the room at the time. They were all gathered together. Significant, we're told, the doors were locked. Nobody could come in because they were afraid. They were afraid of what might be outside. And then Jesus is there. What an amazing thing. We don't have to picture him walking through a wall or going through any other way. All of a sudden, Jesus was there in his glorified body. And what did he have to bring to them? Oh, I know. Just his very presence alone would have been enough to change that whole day. It would have gone by in just a moment in that case. But he looked at them and said, "Peace be with you." And the peace that he brought to them was peace that was convincing them that he had really risen from the dead. It was a peace which brought to them opportunities to tell others about this peace. And it was a peace that would go even to those who hadn't seen him, like you and me. Yes, Jesus appeared in the middle of the room there with the doors were locked. There's no way he could have come in. No one allowed him into the room, and there he is. And what's the first thing he does? "Peace be with you." Well, it's going to be difficult for them to have that concept of peace. And then what does he do? In greatest of love, he says, "Look at my hands. Here, look at my side." Those are marks of identification. We know when someone is being looked for, or the police are looking for someone, they say, "Are there any identifying marks?" Well, Jesus had them. In his glorified, risen body, he wouldn't have had to left them, but he left them in love. What? So his disciples could see, oh yeah, it is Jesus. And what was the response? We're told, oh, then they were overjoyed. What a joy it must have been. They were so confused. On Friday, all that shouldn't have happened. They knew him to be innocent. They knew he hadn't done anything worthy of crucifixion. And they watched him die. They were maybe there as they watched from a distance as he was laid in the tomb and the stone was rolled in front. How difficult that Sabbath must have been. to wait there, to worship yet in such a fashion that the one that you followed, believed in, trusted in, loved and cared for, was in a tomb. How hard that had to be to take. And then to think, well, now what do we do? Technically, we're fugitives from everyone who wanted to destroy Jesus. They no doubt want to destroy his disciples as well, eradicate all the thoughts and all the teachings of Jesus. And Jesus says, peace be with you. He showed himself to all the disciples at that time, all but one, Thomas, and we'll get to him in a little bit. But he showed himself there in such a fashion that they could rejoice. The disciples weren't always sure about what the women told them about the empty tomb and about meeting Jesus. They weren't sure of all the accounts. Peter and possibly John ran to the tomb, knew it was empty, knew that everything was in place and in order, that it wasn't just a grave robbery of sorts. How difficult it was. And those disciples that were on the way to Emmaus, we thought he was going to be the Messiah. We thought he was the one. How long that day must have been. But the day shortens up considerably, doesn't it, when Jesus brings his peace. When Jesus brings the peace that says, yes, there is a resurrection, because his tomb is empty, so will all our tombs at one day. For Christ came and rose from the dead, that we might have the confidence that Satan truly was beaten. Beaten at his own game. Death could not hold him. The grave was not a prison for him. He rose victoriously, even as the scripture tells us, even descending down to hell to show the victory himself, going into Satan's headquarters, showing his victory. And that was a victory that brought about peace. Peace for the disciples now. And oh, to hear Jesus say it, how awesome those words got to be. Calm yourself down, men, ladies. Be calm. Be at peace. Don't worry. It's all been done. It's all been taken care of. This is God's grace to his disciples at the time, and God's grace to the disciples of all time, like you and me. We think of that. He brings us peace. Our sins would separate us from God. Our sins would have us worried too, that someday God was going to come and there was going to be a judgment to pay, just like the disciples were worried about the judgment that might come in through those doors. And Jesus says, be at peace. There is now peace with God. You are one with the Father. We can call him Abba, Father. We can call him our Father, as we do in the prayer in this service. And he is our Father because of the peace that Jesus brought to us. Our sins, though they are scarlet, the prophet says, shall be made as white as snow. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. He paid our debt in full on the cross and then rose victorious so that you and I might enjoy a peace that goes beyond all understanding. It's not the type of peace that the world can ever provide for us, because there will always be wars and rumors of wars. There will always be unrest. There will always be people against each other. There will always be people saying negative things about others. But the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding will keep our hearts and minds calm in the risen Savior Jesus. But when he brings this peace, he doesn't just leave the disciples with that comfort and leave them to say, well, now what do we do? Oh no, he gives them something to do. He gives them the opportunity to share the peace that he has won for them with others. He talks about forgiving sins. We know this from the catechism as the office of the keys in confession, where one is able to confess one's sin, and we are able to say, in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. He says it this way. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. He gives to us the grace and mercy to share peace with people. When they know that they've offended their Lord, when they have sinned, when they've disobeyed, when they're sorry for their sins, what can we share with them? The peace that comes with Jesus. The peace that comes with sins forgiven. And if Jesus forgives, who are we not to? Think about that for a moment. Just recently, there was in the news somebody who offered an apology to someone. And guess what? The person they offered the apology to didn't accept it. I'm not going to accept the apology. Excuse me. Did Jesus not accept your apology? Did he not die for all your sins? Shouldn't we be forgiving in that regard? And so what did Jesus do? He gave a new assignment to the disciples. I want you to go out with my spirit, and I want you to go and to forgive them. Forgive them so that they might know the peace that comes with knowing Jesus Christ. How many sadly don't know the joy that we just celebrated last week at Easter? The joy of victory, the joy of the resurrection. How many don't understand that at all? What a shame it is. And what deep sorrow there is for us that they don't know what it is to be forgiven. They let past sins just eat on them and destroy them and take their life down a path they shouldn't have to go. The love of Jesus Christ is for all. Because he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. That's God's peace to you. A peace which is personal, a peace which is lasting, a peace which no one else can take away from us. Oh, Satan will try. Satan likes it when there's unrest. He likes it when there's problems. But Jesus brings us peace. That wonderful peace for all people. But he brings us more than that peace also, as he brings us a confidence in that which we do not see. That brings us then to Thomas. You see, there's kind of a number of things happening in this room here. They were gathered, they were scared. Now they're not scared because they've seen the resurrected Jesus. But they weren't all there. Thomas wasn't there. I don't know where Thomas was. Nobody knows necessarily. Thomas, the twin, as he's called. And we always know him, what? As Doubting Thomas, right? It's kind of a shame. Because in the book of John, we're told that Thomas was the one, in chapter 10 of John, Thomas was the one who said, when Jesus was going down to Judea, and everybody said, hey, you shouldn't go there, Jesus. They were going to stone you last time you were down there. But Jesus knew his mission to go to Jerusalem. And what did Thomas say? Let us go with him, even if it's to die with him. That was courageous Thomas at that time, wasn't it? That was a bold Thomas to be able to say, listen, if we're going to go with him, if we're going to die with him, then we're going to die with him. But what do we remember him as? Not bold Thomas, not courageous Thomas, not faithful Thomas. We know him as Doubting Thomas. And I wonder if we'd have been any different. Thomas wasn't there. That long day with all the rumors and all the stories and all the events and all the firsthand appearances that might have been recorded, he couldn't make sense of it all. And sometimes we have difficulty making sense of things too, don't we? And we don't want to just fall for anything. I don't know. Wherever he was, he came and joined them and says, you know, we've seen the risen Savior. We saw Jesus. Now, there might have been disappointment on Thomas's part that he wasn't there. He might have been upset by whatever kept him from gathering with them. Or he just didn't really trust them. He says, no, no, I'm not going to believe what you say until I see it for myself. As a matter of fact, I want to touch the marks. You say his hands are still got the marks of the nails? I want to touch those hands. I want to see that side. You let me see that. I'm not going to believe at all until I see it for myself. You know, they say seeing is believing, right? Well, we can kind of throw that statement out now, because with video and all the different things that you can do with technology, you can make things appear like they're not there or appear as they are. And technology can make it all look real. Thomas says, I want to see it. I want to touch it for myself. So a week later, and they're still behind closed doors. You know, I think today, if we would analyze the disciples, we could possibly classify them as having post-traumatic stress syndrome. They could probably have PTSD because, well, what? They're behind closed doors. They're still scared. A week has passed by. As far as we know, they haven't encountered any danger, but they're still scared because they had witnessed everything that went through. And then what? Jesus shows up again. And he utters those same wonderful words, "Peace be with you." They still weren't calm. They still were worried. They were still concerned, even though they had seen him. But Thomas was there this time. And after he greets them all, he says, "Thomas, come here a minute. Go ahead. You want to touch my hands? I know that's what you talked about last time. I know that's what you needed to see. Here, you want to see my side?" Thomas was convinced. This was no mirage. This was no figment of his imagination. This was no hope for dream for Thomas. And he said, "My Lord and my God." We think of that. He got to see something that we'd all would have wished to have seen, right? But Jesus says something about you and me now. Because as they're going to go out with the message of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified, but the one who rose from the dead, as they were going to share that message, there were going to be a whole lot of other people who had never seen the risen Savior either. They hadn't even heard of Jesus. They would have not known what he had looked like. As they're going to share the message of salvation, which was brought to them and which brought them peace and joy and comfort and strength, that same message that's shared with us. And they're going to have to offer them that peace, which now Jesus says, "But blessed are they, you know, Thomas, you believe now because you've seen. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." What a blessing it is for you and me, friends. Yeah, we haven't seen the risen Savior. We've seen his handiwork in our lives and in our creation that we live in. But we've not seen him physically as Thomas got to, or touch him as Thomas would or the other disciples. No, we didn't get to see that. But he says, "So are you blessed to know this, that with the eyes of faith we see a risen Savior. With the eyes of faith in our hearts that the Holy Spirit has worked, we know that we have a peace that the world is so desperately looking for. Desperately looking because they're uncertain of what the future may hold for them. They're uncertain of anything. Most certainly, they're uncertain of God himself. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." These are comforting words for you and me. We don't have to go through any trials or tribulations. We don't have to have the worries of the disciples. We only need to know and believe that Jesus died and lives for you and me. That he rose victorious from the dead, knowing that all our sins have been paid for, life everlasting is ours, and we are privileged to be called children of God, heirs of everlasting life. That's Jesus' promise, and he kept that promise. Oh, there are more things. At the close of this section, we're told that Jesus performed many other miracles in the presence of his disciples, so they wouldn't have to doubt that he was who he was. You know, it wasn't just somebody who looked like him, which are not recorded in this book. He says, "John, I didn't record them all, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." As John was inspired to write all this down, God made sure that you and I knew the confident peace that the disciples were able to share, the wonderful forgiveness they were able to present and offer. He wanted us to know, while all these other things had happened, that the things that he had been written down, that John had written down under inspiration, were written so that we might have peace. That's why Jesus came, to bring about a peace that truly does go beyond all understanding. A peace for you and me to know that God watches over us always. God forgives us always. God loves us always. And God lives, for he rose from the dead. And that is always. and looks forward to us joining him in glory everlasting. We don't have to worry about the future. Jesus holds it in his hand. And he says to you, to me, to all, peace be with you. Amen. And now may the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding keep your hearts and minds in true faith till we stand with him in glory everlasting. Amen.